Are we ready for God's Word this morning? Strike two. You know, you'd get out of here much faster. Are we ready for God's Word this morning?
Yes.
How hard was that, people? All right, let's open our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 43, about middle of your Bible, kind of towards the right. Middle of your Bible, Isaiah chapter 43. We're going to continue. We're actually going to conclude the Alpha and Omega series. And we have said, while you're turning there, just kind of let me brush you up. There's so much information that we have dispensed in the last 3 weeks and that I cannot possibly cover all the points. We said that life is full of what? Two things, church family. Beginnings and endings, right? Yesterday, I ended my singleness, my life of singleness, and I've entered a life of marriage. And that's a new, happy beginning for Cindy and me. And some of you who are graduating, you're ending your career as a high school student, and you will either pursue further education, right? Life is full of beginnings and endings, and your ending in high school might, it'll lead you to a beginning somewhere else, a trade school, college, a job, whatever the case is. So life is full of beginnings and endings and beginnings. We said that sometimes, you know, not all endings are happy. Can I get a witness? Sometimes some endings are sad, they're tragic, they're heart-wrenching. And we said that if we're not careful, that we could allow the enemy of our souls, Satan, to sit as usurper over that bad ending. Now, what that'll spell for us, if we allow that to happen, is we have nothing to look forward to the rest of our lives as people of God, nothing but depression, darkness, gloom. Is that the way we want to live the rest of our lives in defeat, in utter defeat? How many of y'all believe that the enemy wants to just utterly crush us? And he would just kill us soon to look at us. Right? So, but then there's Jesus that says, no, wait a minute. I am the Alpha and the Omega. And if you'll allow me to sit as Alpha and Omega in your bad ending, I will bring an end to that bad ending. And I'll be Alpha in that same moment. And I will bring about a good beginning. Right? Didn't we say that before time began, God decreed a good ending? Doesn't the Bible say in the book of Isaiah that he decrees the end from the very beginning? Before time began, God said your ending was going to be good. How many of y'all draw comfort from that? Because how many of y'all know that sometimes life can knock the shout out of you? And listen, church family, sometimes in life we can get so bogged down with what happens to us between point A, our birth, and point Z, the omega of our lives, death, that we think that this is all there is for us to look forward to in life. You know, the death of a loved one, of a close loved one, a divorce, something sudden, something tragic happens. And someone is taken from our lives, or something is taken from our lives. Maybe as kids, innocence was taken from our lives. You know, I love hanging around my grandchildren and also Cindy's grandkids. They're just so innocent. They're so trusting, aren't they? They just don't know any better. They have not had a bad experience to serve as a baseline for how to react. All they know is love, that they've been loved, they've been taken care of. Come on, somebody. They've been watched over responsibly. But then something happens, thankfully not all the time, but sometimes for some kids, their innocence is lost and they have to grow up very fast. Come on, somebody. Amen. Right? They don't get to enjoy their childhood. They don't get to enjoy teenagehood. They don't get to enjoy, you know. And sometimes that carries with them throughout the rest of their lives. And so this is what I'm saying, church family. Let Jesus sit in that bad ending, even if it means opening your heart to the Lord and inviting Him to your past, to your childhood, to the time in your life when that tragedy happened, when that moment when Satan's tried to sit as usurper and as destroyer over your bad ending, instead of Jesus sitting as the hope giver, as the prosperity giver, as the future giver. I'm going to look forward to for the rest of my life. Because I know that before I was conceived in my mother's womb, that God decreed me as a beloved son of God. How many of y'all know, the ladies, that He decreed you to be a beloved daughter of God? No matter what's happened, no matter what rejection you've faced, no matter what endings, bad endings you've had to live through, He's still Alpha and Omega. Isn't that good teaching? Isn't this good preaching? Amen? I mean, thank God for that. All right. Have we found? This morning we're going to talk about, listen, starting afresh. That's one thing about the Lord Jesus Christ, that He offers us at any moment in our lives the opportunity to start afresh. Who's thankful for that? Amen. Amen? I mean, how many of y'all have ever driven down a highway and it says, it has those signs, unauthorized vehicles cannot make a U-turn? Well, in God's highways, there's always U-turns allowed. If you're going down the wrong direction, brother, you don't have to sweat it, because there's always a sign in God's highway saying, look, you can always hang a Louis. I'm speaking a little New York. Brooklyn. Right? You can always make a U-turn and go in the right direction with the Lord Jesus. And we can start afresh. Praise the Lord. You know, yesterday was a new, fresh start. I was nervous. The last time I had exchanged vows, I was 22 years old. I did not know what I was doing. Dear Lord, I did not know what I was doing. But how many of y'all know? How many of y'all know when you were young? Don't raise your hand, because your spouse might look over and say, what about me now? You didn't know what you were doing? You better love me, girl. Or, sir, you better love me. But we know very little when we're 22. And I told Cindy, I said, Cindy, if I don't get it right this second time, just take me out and shoot me. What's that? You're going to furnish the... Thanks, brother. I'm going to keep you closer than my friends. My mama didn't raise no fool. All right, let's get to the scripture. Isaiah chapter 43. We're going to start afresh, right? Because Jesus is Alpha. He is a new beginning. All right, Isaiah 43. We're going to jump into verse 18. Notice the scripture. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I, the Lord, will do a what thing? I will do a new thing. Now, when? Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? Now, I love that he asked that question. Shall you not know it? Because a lot of people don't recognize the hand of God effecting a new beginning, a good beginning in their lives, and they don't know it. And the Lord is working to bring about a fresh start. And he says, shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness. Who's ever been lost in the wilderness of life? I remember when I was young, I was a Cub Scout. And I strayed a little bit of wandering off on a trail. And before I knew it, I got lost. And I didn't know I didn't have a compass with me. I didn't know which direction was north, south, east, or west. I couldn't hear the other Cub Scouts talking and stuff. And so my heart started racing, and I started finding myself lost. You know, that's kind of an oxymoron. You find yourself lost. Right? But then after a while, I just begin to walk, and then I saw the car. Oh, good. Finally found it. It's no fun being lost, right? It's no fun being directionally impaired in life, where you have no direction. All you have is stacked failure behind you. Come on, somebody.
and you don't have much hope for the future. And the Lord says, I will make a road. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. I will make a road in that lostness of your life, in that wilderness. I will show you the path. Listen, if you get nothing out of this message other than this, Jesus said, I am the way. So no matter what part of life I may find in, myself in, good, bad, ugly, tragic, if I begin following Him, how many of y'all know He's going to lead me out of that wilderness? Amen. Because He is the way. He is the way. Notice, I will make streams in and rivers in the desert. All right, let's go back to verse 18. It says, do not remember the former things. You know what that really means in the Hebrew? The Hebrew word remember does not mean remember. It means understand. It's a Hebrew word bean, like Mr. Bean. Bean, which means do not try to understand why the bad happened. Somebody needs to hear this. Maybe here this morning, maybe on the radio, maybe on YouTube. But I find that sometimes when bad happens, listen, church family, we allow ourselves to go down a path that that path itself is beyond our pay grade as human beings. We don't have the cognitive abilities. We don't have the reasoning faculties. We don't have the IQ to be able to wrap our arms, our mental understanding around that problem of why something bad happened to us when it shouldn't have happened. Who would agree with me on that? Amen. How many times have we found ourselves saying, why, Lord, why did you let this happen? Why, when I was a kid, why, Lord, why could not I have... One of the questions I always cried out to the Lord, Lord, why could I not have been raised in a Christian home? Because on the one hand, some people say, well, you know, you led your family to the Lord. But how many of y'all know that sometimes that comes at a cost? Because you become instantly the black sheep because you betrayed the religious tradition of your family. And we're not just talking about your mother and father. We're talking about your great, 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 great. Back to the prehistoric Mexican people in the Aztec land. You like that, don't you? I'm sure there were some Mexicans in Rome back in the day. They were Catholic. They went and settled. It comes at a cost. And so I cried out to the Lord growing up, Lord, why? And you know, He never answered that question. How many of us know, church family, that if we get stuck with a why, it can become, listen carefully, a paralysis of analysis. We get stuck. Our lives stop moving forward because we are continually asking why. What does the scripture say? Do not seek to understand the former things. Boy, this is a powerful word. Can I just liberate you this morning, church family? Get unstuck by stop asking why or seeking to understand why something bad happened to you when you were a kid, when you were growing up. Why did this person dump me? Why did this person leave me? Why did I choose this crazy person? Right? Don't seek to understand. The Lord says, behold, look, I'm doing a new thing. I'm doing something good. Listen, something so good that right now you cannot comprehend how good it's going to be. Amen? But in time, you will see how good it can be. Ask my lady 2 years ago, you could have asked her, do you envision yourself as a pastor's wife? No. Do you envision yourself with the sweetest man you've ever been with? You know that's the truth. You know that's the truth, babe, right? That's the truth. I'm telling you. That's right. So help me God. I'll tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. She came up to me the other day. She said, "You are so sweet." Am I telling the truth, babe? She said, and what did I say? "It's Jesus." She said, "All the other bleeps and blanks and get your ear plugs ready. All those bleeps and blanks and this and that, they were never sweet to me." She said, "You're sweet to me." I said, "It's Jesus. That's the only explanation I have. It's Jesus." Amen. Right? Amen. And so it says here, listen, I'm going to do a new thing. I'm experiencing new. She's experiencing new. I bet back 2 years ago, you would have said, had somebody told you, "Oh, listen, it's going to be this good, it's going to be that good, it's going to be this good, you're going to end up with a Mexican." That's her order for the Lord. She told her daughters once, she had her two daughters with her. She said, "You know what, ladies? Bless the Lord, I'm tired of meeting all these crack-a-lacking crackers." I'm sorry. I need to quit because I throw myself off. And she said, "I'm going to find me a Mexican." Am I telling the truth? Because they know how to keep their family together. Well, look, the Lord was listening. She said she once dated a guy that was too serious all the time, never smiled. And she said, "Why can't you just smile? Can't you see, honey, I'm toothless?" Am I telling the truth? This is a tell-all, people. Not every preacher in Macon County or Shelby County will hang your lady's stuff out there. But it's the truth. And get who she got? The ear-plugging preacher. Give me five, brother. Be careful what you ask for. So anyway, back to the message. Listen, God says, "I will bring forth something good, something new." So listen, let's talk about that, because sometimes we look to externals. Very important point, your family. Sometimes we look for the outsides to change, but how many of y'all know that God does not begin change on the outside? God begins change on our insides. Before anything on the outside will change, God will always change us on the inside to prepare us for the gradual changes on the outside. Good? Important. When that starts to happen, there's a four-step process that'll happen that the Lord will take us through. Listen, that you must embrace these four to make a fresh start in your life after having survived a bad ending. Number one, listen, we must remember the past with sadness. We must remember the past with sadness. Who's ever watched the movie, "He's Just Not That Into You"? Well, it's the pagan preacher here. Only the pagan. It's a movie. It was based off of a book. You're aware of that, right, Lisa? Maybe you didn't watch it, but, or you don't want to confess before the congregation of the holy people. Anyway, so there were these, I loved it. There were these ladies there. They were grinding axes about men because they had been dumped. Or they were hoping that the guy was into them. They had, how many of y'all know that some ladies, not all ladies, we have all wives, present company excluded, some ladies have blinders thinking, "He's into me, he's into me, he's into me," and all the friends are saying, "He's not into you, he's not into you." And then when the guy makes it abundantly clear, they're like, in the movie, they grab this big old pint of ice cream and they're just eating it and grinding after the typical man. They ain't never faithful, they blah, 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 blah. Why do I say that, church family? Because sometimes people will get a stiff upper lip, deny what happened, stuff it, and move on, and that's not the way to start afresh. We have to own the pain. We have to own the sadness of a bad ending. Amen? Church family? Otherwise, we're going to walk around life with a chip on our shoulder, and that's not God's plan for us. Embrace the sadness. Remember the past with sadness before the Lord. Number two, remember the good parts of a bad ending. Remember the good parts of a bad ending. You know, I can tell you sincerely that when my ex-wife, now I can say my first wife, when she told me she was going to file for divorce and she wanted me to file, I'm like, look, I'm not the one with a grievance. And she said, well, then I'm going to file. I said, well, you go ahead and file. I will not contest it. Is it okay if I keep it real, church family? I just feel like we're reaching many more people that if I just give you theological concepts here, people live life in real time. Amen? And so I remember, you know, I was devastated, as you can imagine. 29 years just gone. But I, at the same time, I remembered that I had an opportunity, listen carefully, church family, to become the person I needed to become at that stage in my life. That was a good part of a bad ending. I had the opportunity. I didn't have to clear it with a spouse. Come on, somebody. I didn't have to consult with anybody else. Thank you, sweetie. Keep amening. I didn't have to consult with anybody else. When you're single, it's just me, myself, and Irene, right? It's just me, myself, and I. And so I said, the good part for me of that bad past was, you know what? I'm going to be this kind of person. I'm going to make an effort to be this kind of person, and I'm not going to be the bad person I was, listen carefully, that contributed to the demise of my marriage. Amen. This is good teaching. Number three, which leads into number three, I remember the bad ending with truth. In other words, not in all cases, I want to make that very clear, not in all cases, but in some cases. How many of y'all know that in some cases of some bad endings, not all, we contributed to that bad ending? Amen. And we can't blame everybody else, and we can't blame the Republicans, and we can't blame the Democrats, and we can't blame the Independents. Sorry, G-Dub. We can't blame everybody else. Listen, we have to look in the mirror. How did I contribute, if at all, to that bad ending? I contributed. Oh, no question. I contributed. Church family, we have to remember with truth. Ready for the last one? And you're going to be out in time. Look at this. Listen. We will move forward. Last step is we will move forward with a newfound respect for ourselves. With a newfound respect for ourselves. I'm no longer going to be the person that my ex divorced. Come on, somebody. I'm not going to call myself a victim. At some point, baby, you got to quit. Listen carefully. At some point, you got to shed yourself of all of those self-pity clothes and start accepting responsibility for your life and start making something good happen for yourself. Amen. And quit blaming your ex and quit blaming, you know, are you gonna live the rest of your life with a limp, always blaming others, always being your ex's victim? I was dumped, I was taken out like trash. Really? I remember one time in Snapchat, there was this chick, you know, because they provide general videos. Apparently, she had been dumped, and she put, I was dumped in letters. And then she's watching The Notebook, the movie The Notebook, and you could hear, and there's Rachel McAdams, and what's the guy's name? The Notebook. I know. I'm the pagan preacher that watches all of these secular movies. Can I have an honest show? Ladies, how many of y'all watched The Notebook and liked it? Thank you for your honesty in the house. Anyway, listen, we move forward with a new found respect for ourselves, and thus we're ready to enter our new beginning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you, Father. We We explored so many different aspects. Help us, Lord, not to keep asking why and get stuck in our journey. Help us, Lord, to understand that change doesn't begin on the outside. It always begins on the inside of us. Help us, Lord, not to walk around with a limp and always soliciting self-pity from others like a beggar, asking for alms, emotional alms, and draining people. Father, help us to accept responsibility for our lives, to help us become the people we need to be to enter our new phase of a new beginning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, this morning, just to clarify, in the bulletin it actually says Griffin is eighth grade. He's not a senior. He was giving me a puzzling look when Scott was reading that. He's only eighth. Sorry. He's smart, but he's not the prodigy. So. Well, this morning we want to tell you all congratulations and that we love you all and that we want you to always be seeking God. Make Him the treasure that you seek. Always keep your hearts pure. And remember that He is always the everlasting arms that you should be leaning on. So, the next verse on the screen actually is part of what I just said. So, congratulations. I'm going to start with Griffin, I guess. It's the heaviest one and it's on top. And Dalton. You can all stand here and open. And Brandon. Welcome. So, let's give them a round of applause.
Follow your dreams, graduate. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, plans to give you hope. Jeremiah 29:11. Today, as you celebrate your accomplishments, remember that you are an important part of God's wonderful plan, and as long as you continue to seek His guidance, nothing can ever hold you back. Happy graduation and best wishes, Locust Grove Church family. Thank you all. Thank you. You want to give a speech, Brandon?
Your turn, Griff.
Yeah, you got to read your card.
I wanted to use some big words to congratulate you on your intellectual achievement. You did it. Are these big enough?
Today, as you celebrate your accomplishments, remember that you are an important part of God's wonderful plan, and as long as you continue to seek His guidance, nothing can ever hold you back. Happy graduation and best wishes, Locust Grove Church family.